at the beginning of the chapter, chapter 11, there's a change of scene. We're no longer in Vimalakirti's house. Or rather, we're no longer in that throne-filled empty space where Vimalakirti's house was. We're back in Amrapali's park, back in Amrapali's beautiful garden. We're back with the Buddha and Ananda and the rest of the assembly. And the Buddha, of course, is teaching the Dharma. And as he teaches the Dharma at the beginning of this chapter, the park, the garden, becomes larger and larger. Not only that, the entire assembly is suffused with a beautiful golden light. And Ananda is rather surprised. He asks the Buddha what it means. And the Buddha replies that it means that Vimalakirti and Manjushri are coming. They're on their way. They're coming with a great multitude. And a few seconds later, they all arrive. In fact, Vimalakirti magically transports his entire assembly, thrones and all. And Ananda, after they've arrived, notices the perfume. So he asks the Buddha where it comes from. And the Buddha says it emanates from the pores of all the bodhisattvas. Sariputra hastens to add that it emanates from their pores too. That is to say, the pores of the arhats. And he explains what happened. He says, Vimalakirti obtained some food from the Pure Land, called sweetly perfumed with all perfumes, and the perfume emanates from the bodies of all who partook of that food. There then follows a conversation between Ananda and Vimalakirti about perfume in general, about food. Now Ananda then says to the Buddha, Lord, it is wonderful that this food accomplishes the work of the Buddha. And the Buddha replies in a very important passage. He says, so it is, Ananda. It is as you say, Ananda. There are Buddha fields that accomplish the Buddha work by means of bodhisattvas. Those that do so by means of lights. Those that do so by means of the tree of enlightenment. Those that do so by means of physical beauty and the marks of the Tathagata. Those that do so by means of religious robes. Those that do so by means of food. Those that do so by means of water. Those that do so by means of gardens. Those that do so by means of palaces. Those that do so by means of mansions. Those that do so by means of magical incarnations. Those that do so by means of empty space. And those that do so by means of lights in the sky. Why is it so, Ananda? Because by these various means, living beings become disciplined. Similarly, Ananda, there are Buddha fields that accomplish the Buddha work by means of teaching living beings words, definitions, and examples, such as dreams, images, the reflection of the moon in water, echoes, illusions, and mirages. And those that accomplish the Buddha work by making words understandable. Also, Ananda, there are utterly pure Buddha fields that accomplish the Buddha work for living beings without speech, by silence, inexpressibility, and unteachability. Ananda, among all the activities, enjoyments, and practices of the Buddhas, there are none that do not accomplish the Buddha work, because all discipline living beings. Finally, Ananda, the Buddhas accomplish the Buddha work by means of the four maras and all the 84,000 types of passion that afflict living beings. The Buddha then goes on to speak about various matters, and he concludes by speaking about the actual lesson of the destructible and the indestructible, which gives the title to this chapter. But we're not concerned with that now. We're concerned with the passage which I've just read. Because what is the Buddha saying in this passage? He goes, in fact, much further than we've gone so far. He says that there are many alternative means of communication. That is, alternative to words and language. Not just perfumes. It's possible, he says, to communicate through bodhisattvas. Perhaps Vimalakirti did this when he sent that golden, emanated bodhisattva. It's possible to communicate through lights. Possible to communicate through the Bodhi tree. And in this connection, we may recall the example of early Indian Buddhist art, which depicted, for example, the Buddha at the moment of his enlightenment, but didn't actually represent the human figure of the Buddha. Showed just a tree, the Bodhi tree. The Bodhi tree communicated the fact that the Buddha was there. This may or may not be an example of what the Buddha was talking about in this passage, but no doubt it has some bearing on it. It's possible, the Buddha says, to communicate by means of robes, food, water, gardens, magical incarnations, empty space, and lights in the sky. Some people might think the Buddha was referring to flying saucers here, because flying saucers are supposed to be an attempt on the part of extraterrestrial beings to communicate with men on Earth. It's possible to communicate, the Buddha also says, through silence. And Vimalakirti himself certainly does this, as we've seen earlier on in the case of his thunder-like silence.